Good evening, this is Gary Black with the KUAC News Minor Update. A proposal to create a single fire and emergency services commission for the Fairbanks North Star Borough has been delayed by the Assembly. An ordinance which went before the panel last night would have eliminated five existing fire service area commissions that represent taxpayers in their neighborhoods. As KUAC's Robin reports, many who testified at last night's meeting pointed out that current commissioners were not consulted about the change.
The Assembly heard more than 2 hours of testimony from local fire officials and service area commissioners. Several were opposed to the ordinance because it is seen as removing representation and the first step on a path to a borough-wide fire department. John George is a fire science professor.
A consolidated commission could lead easily to a consolidated fire department. When that happens, sometimes people lose pride in ownership. And when you lose pride and ownership, you lose your volunteers. And when you lose your volunteers, you go to an all-paid model. The taxpayers are going to have to come up with money to hire paid firefighters.
The ordinance would create one fire and emergency medical services advisory commission. It would at the same time eliminate the five fire service area commissions, Steese, North Star, Esther, Chena Goldstream, and University. The fire service areas fill in where the city, army, and airport fire departments don't cover. They're administered by appointed commissioners, small groups of 3 to 5, who approve the budget collected from neighborhood property taxes. The commissions contract with nonprofit fire departments, the people who actually fight the fires. A large part is neighborhood volunteers. Each department has its board of directors. Those people spend the budget.
We have the board of directors, we have the commissioners, and then we have the borough. And we have a system that has been working.
Jenny Brown is president of the Esther Fire Department Board of Directors.
I would ask that you not break apart a piece of that system by taking our commissioners.
70% to 80% of the emergency calls in the borough are not fires at all, but are medical problems requiring EMTs or an ambulance. Currently, the borough has control and funding for emergency medical services, not the individual service areas. Brad Paulson, the borough's emergency services manager, says that's what drove his department to put the ordinance together. The new consolidated commission outlined in the ordinance would plan for the borough's emergency medical needs, as well as fires. But that component was hardly talked about by public speakers, who told the Assembly they weren't consulted about the change in the law. Mark Steele lives in the University Fire Service area.
I don't understand why you'd want to mess with a good thing. I don't understand why this ordinance was proposed without talking to the public, without talking to the fire service area commissions, without talking to any of the fire chiefs.
Some mentioned commissioners were insulted by the letter from the mayor's office, dated July 17th, alerting them to the ordinance and thanking them for their past service. The letter is posted in the Assembly agenda on the borough website. It specifically advocates a regional approach rather than five separate commissions. Chief Tori Clyde of the Esther Fire Department.
I am disappointed in the way this has been handled. I'm embarrassed for the way this was handled. I agree with some of the language. However, our public was not advised on this ordinance. Our commissioners received a letter a few days prior to it being brought to the table.
Others say the ordinance does not show a comprehensive plan and needs more input from experienced stakeholders. Bob Grove of the Esther Fire Service Area Commission.
I suggest you commission a master plan for the delivery of fire and EMS and let us all know just how much the delivery of these services are going to cost us, the taxpayers.
After the public hearing, the Assembly put the ordinance on hold. They passed a motion to have a large work session that would be a chance for fire departments, emergency medical providers, and fire service area stakeholders to discuss it. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Alaska's wood bison herd has dropped to just 91 animals, down from the 130 the state introduced in 2015. According to state biologists, a hard winter with deep snow coupled with wolf attacks and a low calf birth rate are the top reasons for the decline of the experimental herd. Alaska's current population of wood bison was imported from Canada and released near the village of Shagaluk in the Innoko River Basin. Tom Seaton is a biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He's based here in Fairbanks. He wrote in the August edition of Alaska Fish and Wildlife News that wolves had a major advantage in March and April because they could run on top of the heavy snow that was slowing bison. He told the Newsminer that based on expectations from herd growth rates in Canada, there were hopes that Alaska's herd would grow fast enough to allow hunting in 6 years, but that estimate now looks overly optimistic. Now, he says, hunting could be at least a decade away. Hope does remain, though, as Fish and Game is planning for future wood bison releases in Alaska. Possible locations for a future wood bison release include previously discussed options like Minto Flats and Yukon Flats, as well as Ruby on the Middle Yukon River and the Tetlin Flats in eastern interior Alaska. Seton said the decision for where to release the next group of bison will follow public meetings to gauge community interest. And for more on tonight's stories or others, visit newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Gary Black.